The Yeshiva Gedol of Johannesburg proudly presents the Wednesday evening shiur, covering the Parashas HaShavua, the Yomim Tovim, and other special topics as delivered by its founder and Rosh HaYeshiva, Rabbi Israel Chaim Goldfein, Zichrono Livrocha. Details regarding how to order additional shiurim follow immediately after the conclusion of the shiur.
This week's Parashas is Parashas Shlach Lecha. However, in Parashas Naso, we started to speak about the Yud Beis Nesim, the 12 princesses of each Shevet, of the 12 tribes, when they brought their korbonos, their sacrifices and their gifts as an offering of the Chanukah Samizbeach to inaugurate the new altar and of the new Mishkan, which was put up on Rosh Chodesh Nisan of the second year of the going out of Mitzrayim. And there, Nosi Echod, Nosi Echod, one prince came every day for 12 days to bring his gift. And each gift was identical. Yet the Torah elaborates and repeats over 12 times the exact same gifts for each Nosi. So we explained in accordance to the Medrash that firstly everyone has had their general intent of what the gifts should mean, and that, for example, Rashi brings from Ramesha Hadarshan. But aside from that, each Shevet, he knew the historical role which he was going to play in the history of Klal Yisrael and in the history of the world. This was given to the sons of Yaakov before Yaakov died. Exactly what would happen to them Ad Yemais HaMashiach, until the days of the Mashiach. So each prince of each tribe also had a kavana proti, an individual intention, what each of his gifts should mean. And we started this in Parshas Nosei, and there we spoke about the first three tribes. In Parshas Bamidbar, the Torah tells us that the 12 tribes were divided up into four camps, each camp on a different ruach, a different side of the Mishkan. Three tribes in each camp. The first camp was known as Degel Machne Yehuda, and that was in the Mizrach, in the east. And they were Rishonim, Rishonim Yisrael. They were the ones who traveled first. And those three were Yehudi, Yisachar, and Zvulun. And this is where we started the series, on those three. The following week, in Parshas Baalei Yisachar, we continued with the second three, which was the camp of Reuven. Degel Machne Reuven Shnim Yisrael. They broke camp secondly. And in their camp was Reuven, Shimon, and God. They were camped on the south side. This week I would like to continue the series. I was hoping to finish the series, but I see that the material is just far too much. So we'll speak about the third camp this evening. And the fourth camp, the final three, that we'll have to leave for another opportunity, please God, next month. We will try to do that one. And as mentioned, each one came with a different intent, a different objective. For example, Yehuda was the Melech, so he brought his gifts in regards to Malchus. From him came Malochim. Yisachar was Torah, so he brought in regards to Torah, and so on. This evening, we're on the seventh day. And it states in the Torah, this is in Bosik Memches, Nosei Perek Zayin, V'yim HaShvi. The seventh day was Nosi Livnei Ephraim, the prince of the tribe of Ephraim, Elishama ben Amihud. His name was Elishama ben Amihud. korbanai, he sacrificed, and this was the same as all of the sacrifices. It was a karis kesev achas, a karov. A karov was like a basin. The Midrash tells us it was large, and it was similar to the sea, which encompasses the earth. A karov, which was kesev, which was made out of silver. One kara, shleishim omeya mishkola, the weight was 130 shekels of silver. Mizrok echot, kesef. And then there was a mizrok. A mizrok was another utensil, which was more like a bowl. The Medrash tells us this was round. Actually comes from the word zorak, to throw. It was similar to a kadur, to a bowl. Shivim shekel b'shekel hakodesh. It was silver, and the weight of 70 shekels. Shnei meleim seilis, both of them were filled with a fine wheat flour, belula v'shemen, and mixed with oil, the mincha, and this would be for a mincha, an offering. Kaf achas, the kaf was like a ladle. Kaf actually means the palm of a person's hand. This also refers to a spoon. This was like a ladle, a large ladle. But the Medrash tells us that it was similar to a large ladle, but it had five fingers. Asora, zohov, this was gold. This was the weight of 10 shkolim. Melech teoris, and this was full of incense. Parechot ben bokor, aylechot, kevesechot ben shnei sele ola. Then for the korban ola, for the burnt offering, there was one young bull, a ram, one ram and one sheep, a year old. Then for the sin offering, there was a goat. And then for the offering, which is known as a shlomim, the peace offering, there were two bulls, elim chamisha, atudim chamisha, kvosim b'nei shono chamisha, five rams, five he-goats, five sheep, ze korban Elishama ben Amihud. This was the korban of Elishama, who was the nosi of Ephraim. Now these three tribes that we're going to speak about this evening are very united together, so we'll have to first speak about them all in as a from a united perspective, and then later on go into the individual. So we'll take the next two also. B'yem Hashmini, on the eighth day, was Nasi Levnei Menashe. Then came Menashe Gamliel ben Pedotzur, and then in Posuk Samech was B'yem Hatshi'i, on the ninth day, Nosi Livnei Vinyomin. It was the prince of the tribe of Vinyomin, Avidon ben Ginoni. So here we are speaking about Ephraim, Manasseh, and Vinyomin. They made up the third camp in the Midbar, and it was known as Degel Machne Ephraim. Their campsite was Yoma, towards the sea, which means Marav, the west side, Ushlishim Yisou, and they were the third to march. These three that came together, Ephraim, Manasseh, and Binyamin, very proper that they should be together, because they all have something very strongly in common, and that is the Kulam B'nai Rochel. These were the children of Rochel, because Ephraim and Manasseh were the sons of Yosef. Rochel had two sons and no daughters, Yosef and Binyamin. Ephraim and Manasseh were the two sons of Yosef. Yosef was her firstborn, and then Binyamin, her second son. Accordingly, all three of them were very bonded up with their father Yaakov, more than the other brothers. Because Rachel, their mother, was known as Eshish Yaakov, the main, the true wife of Yaakov. And the sages tell us even the children of the other Shvatim, of Leah, or the maidservant of Leah, agree to this, as we find in Rus, Perek Dalet, Pasuk Yud Aleph. Boaz was marrying Ruth, and they gave Ruth a brocha. Boaz was from Yehuda, the children of Leah. Yet they all said the brocha, Yitain Eso Isha Abo El Beisecho, that this Hashem should give to this woman who is going into your home, Kirochel Vicheleo. She should be like Rochel and Leah. Asher bonu shteyem es beis Yisrael, that both of them built the house of Israel, and they were hidim Rochel to Leah. First they mentioned Rochel and then Leah, even though they were the children from Leah. The Akeres Habayis, the mainstay of the house of Yaakov was Rochel. And since the main Devekus, the main bond between Yaakov and his wife was Rochel, so then also the main bond between Yaakov and his children would first come between himself and the children of Rochel. And that is these three, Ephraim and Asher and Binyamin. Accordingly further, the main Shechina then would be by these three. Because Yaakov represented the greatest bonding to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. As the Chazal tell us, Tzurasei Shel Yaakov Chokuk B'Kisei HaKovet. It was the image of Yaakov that was hewed out in the throne of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And in particular, this would be together with Rachel, because the Chazal tell us, Ish V'Isho Shalom B'Nehem Shechina Shrui B'Nehem, that when a man and his wife, this makes up a person in totality, and when there is a strong bond between them and there is peace and love, then there's Shechina. So according to this, the main Shechina would be found by Yaakov and Rochel and the children of Rochel. This is why we find that these three children, Ephraim, Manasseh, and Binyamin, their campsite was in the west. The west represents the Makom HaShechina, the place of HaKadosh Baruch Hu's presence. Like we see from the Beis HaMikdash, that the further west one went, when one entered the Beis HaMikdash, he would enter from the east side. And the further west one went, it became more Kodosh. There was the Azora, the courtyard, and then there was the Ulam, and then there was the Kodesh, until finally the westernmost part was the Kodesh HaKadoshim, the Holy of Holies. The reason for this is because in the eastern part of the world, which is considered the front of the world, actually we explained this when we spoke about Yehuda, because his campsite was on the east. But that's considered the front of the world, and the west is considered the inward part of the world. The eastern part of the world, which is the front is always golui, it's always open and revealed. This represents the physical world, the olam hagolui, the physical world is the revealed world. And this is the place of the strength of the sun. The fact is, Mizrach is called that because of Zorach Zrichas HaShemesh. It's where the sun begins to shine. And this is where the sun shows its strength. And the sun is the Mor HaGodol. The sun is who HaKadosh Baruch Hu designated to be the physical king in this world. He controls and governs the whole physical universe. But as he comes further east, he becomes stronger until he reaches high noon. Then, as he comes towards the Gavul, the boundary of the western side of the world, his power starts to diminish. He starts to set. And the more west he comes, the more he sets. Until finally, he becomes totally concealed. And the Gemara explains why. Because he's bowing before a greater king, Ki'avdo Kamemare, like a servant bows to his master. Because in the West is HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And this is the concealed world, the Olam HaNister. We don't see him, but this is his place. And this is why we serve, states the Mishnah Masechta Sukkah, brings that all of the nations of the world always serve to the east, because they look at the greatest physical forces and they see the sun. We serve to the west because we do not necessarily bow to what we see, but we bow to the master over what we see. And that's HaKadosh Baruch Hu in the west. This is why the sun is called the Shemesh. Shemesh is from the word L'shamesh, to serve. He is a servant of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Therefore we find that the Mishkan, the sanctuary, was moved from place to place. It was built in the Midbar, the desert, came into Eretz Yisrael, stayed in one place, moved, stayed another place and moved. But the most permanent place it had, the Mishkan, was in Shiloh. And that was Kelkishel Yosef. That was in the territory of Yosef. And the Mishkan represented the Shekhinah. And then we find that later on, when the Beis HaMikdash replaced the Mishkan, which was called the Beis HaOlamim, because this was the permanent place of the Mishkan. It would never move from there again. And this was the everlasting place of the Shekhinah. This was in Yerushalayim, which was Chelkel Shel Binyamin, which was the territory of Binyamin. So we find that both the most permanent place of the Mishkan and the place of the Beis HaMikdash, the first and the second, and even the third will be built there, were in the territory of this campsite of Yosef, the father of Ephraim and Manasseh, and Binyamin. That's because they were the main power of the Hashroz Ashkina, where the Shekhinah would be, like we explained. This actually Rashi brings out in Parshas Vayigash, this fact where it states when Yosef was reunited with his brother Binyamin, this is in Memhei Posuk Yud Dalet, by Yipol al Savore Binyamin Ochi Vayevk, he fell on the neck of Binyamin and he wept. By Binyamin Bocha al Savoroth, and Binyamin wept on his neck. And when it writes the neck of Binyamin, it writes it in plural. So Rashi explains that Yosef had foreseen that the Beis HaMikdash, twice, there will be two Bote Mikdoshes in the territory of Binyamin, and they will be destroyed. Therefore he wept twice. And Binyamin had foreseen that the Mishkan, which would be in Shiloh, which is in the territory of Yosef, would be destroyed once. So this gives us a little background into these three. But now we have another question. What are Ephraim and Manasseh doing here? They were not from the 12 sons of Yaakov. They were grandsons, sons of Yosef. It should be Yosef, not Ephraim and Manasseh. So this is explained to us in Parshas Vayechi. And in order to understand this completely, we have to learn a little of that parsha. In Parshas Vayechi, Perek Mem Ches Posuk Yud, Yosef had gone to Egypt, and there he was there for many, many years, and he gave birth to two sons, Ephraim and Manasseh. Later on, he was reunited with Yaakov. Now Yaakov is old, and he wants to bless the sons before he dies. It states, "V'enei Yisrael kovdu mizeken leyuchal leres." The eyes of Yisrael, this is Yaakov, were because of his age, became very weak and he couldn't see well. And he told Yosef to bring me your two sons so I will be able to bless them. So Yosef brought the sons to him. He kissed them and he hugged them. Then it states, "Vayikach Yosef eshneim es Ephraim b'minay mismol Yisrael." Yosef brought Ephraim in his right hand, which was to the left hand of Israel, because Ephraim was the younger. Es Menashe b'smol b'min Yisrael, and then he took Menashe in his left hand, which was the right hand of Israel, because Menashe was the oldest, the bechor. Vayagesh elov, and he brought them to Yisrael, to Yaakov. By Yishlach Yisrael es Yeminai, Yisrael took his right hand, by Yoshes HaResh Ephraim, and he put it on the head of Ephraim, the Buhu HaTzoir, the younger one, Vesmolo al Resh Menashe, and his left hand he put on Menashe, who was the older one, Sikol es Yodov, Ki Menashe Bechor. He did this with intention, because Menashe was the firstborn. And he blessed them. He gave them the brocha. Then after that it states, "Bayar Yosef ki Yoshis aviv yad yemina al reish Ephraim veyer beinav." Yosef saw this and he was not happy with this. "Vayismach yad aviv losi reisham al reish Ephraim al reish Menashe," and he tried to remove Yaakov's hand, his right hand, from Ephraim and put it on the head of Menashe. And he said, "Lekein Ovi, kizeh abachor, simimin chal reishoi." It's not this way. It's take your hand and put it on the other son, because he is the bachor. He is the oldest. "Vayemoin Oviv," and his father refused. "Vayema yodati v'ni yodati, gam hu yel om v'gam hu yigdol." He said, "I know this." And he says, "Menashe, who is the firstborn, he will be for a great nation. He will become great. But Ephraim, the younger son, he will become greater. And from his seed, the whole world will know." Here he was referring to Yeshua. Yeshua was going to be a descendant from Ephraim. And the whole world will know when he stopped the son. And he blessed them on that day, saying, "B'chol yivorech Yisrael l'mo yisim chalakim v'Ephraim uvichi Menashe v'yosim esraf Ephraim l'fem al Menashe." HaKadosh Baruch Hu, you should bless your children, saying that Hashem shall make them like Ephraim u'Menashe. And he said, he placed Ephraim before Menashe. Then he said like this. He said, "I'm going to die, v'ani nasati l'cho shchem achad alachecho, and I am going to give to you," shchem means a chelek, a portion, "I'm going to give to you one extra portion over your brethren, asher lokachti miyar ha'mori becharbi v'kashti, which I have taken from the Emori with my sword and my arrow." The sages explain, what is he doing? He told Yosef that you will get an extra portion, more than all of your brethren. And this portion I have taken from the Emori with my sword and my arrow. What is he referring to and why? He's saying that you are my bechor to Yosef. You are my firstborn. Even though Yosef was not the firstborn, Reuven was the firstborn. Reuven, Shimon, Levi, Yehuda. Yosef was way at the end. Yisrochus, Zvulun, there were many before Yosef. But Yaakov said, "You I consider my firstborn. Because why did I come to the house of Laban? To marry Rachel. Therefore, you are the first to be born from Rachel. You are my firstborn. Since you're the firstborn, you deserve an extra portion. This is the halacha of the law. The firstborn gets Pishnayim. He gets an extra portion. So I'm going to give you an extra portion. And what will be that extra portion? The sages explain. You will represent not one Shevet, but two Shvatim. Not one tribe, but two tribes. Reuven will have one tribe. Shimon will have one tribe. You will have two. You will no longer be Yosef, but you will be Ephraim Umanasha. And you will have, every son will have one place in the camp. You will have two campsites, both Ephraim and Manasseh. And you, your sons, everyone will have one Nossi, one prince. You will have two princes, the prince of Ephraim and the prince of Manasseh. And you will receive two portions in Eretz Israel, while everyone will receive just one. And what? Where do I get to give you the firstborn birthright? Because really, I'm not a firstborn myself. The firstborn he was giving him was a very, very special firstborn. He says, I'm not a firstborn. Esav was the firstborn. But I took it from Esav. And that was the firstborn birthright that came from Yitzchak. And that came from Avraham. And I took it from Esav. Esav he refers to as the Amori. The Amori was a violent heathen nation. Becharbi Vakashti, with my chokhmah, my wisdoms, and my tefillah and my prayers, I maneuvered Esav into a position where I could convince him to sell me his firstborn birthright. And this I give to you, to Yosef. And this is why we find that when Yaakov, at the end of the Parshas Vayechi, when Yaakov is dying, and he gives brochas to all of his sons, we do not find the word brocha mentioned by any of the sons, even though he's giving them all brochas, except by Yosef. And there are many times it's mentioned brochas. And the reason is because the main birchas Avraham, which was given to Yitzchak, which Yitzchak wanted to give to Esav, but Yaakov took it because he and Rivka felt he deserved it because he had become Gam Becheirosi. He was the firstborn now. This he gave over to Yosef. Now with this we understand. If we look in Parshas Vayechi just a little before that, and that is in Posukei, where Yaakov tells Yosef, "Atosh nevanecho anolodim lecho be'eretz Mitzrayim ad bei lecho Mitzrayim." He says, "And now the two sons which were born to you in Egypt, before I was reunited with you, lihem, they are my sons, Ephraim uManasseh keRuven veShimon yuli." They are not your sons, they are my sons. They will be just like Reuben and Shimon. This is what he was telling them. They will not be considered sons of Yosef from the aspect that they are not Shvatim. They will be considered Ephraim or Manasseh like Reuben and Shimon. They will have the same power as Reuben and Shimon and Yehuda and Levi. They will be counted amongst the 12 sons of Yaakov. So, this is why, when it comes to the seventh and eighth day, we do not find Yosef, but rather we find Ephraim and Manasseh, where Yosef is being represented by two princesses on 2 days, and these are his two sons. Incidentally, from here we see the great Madrega, the great level of Yosef. That Yosef is not to be considered a son, merely a son of Yaakov, but a father of Shvatim. He gave birth himself to Shvatim that became equal to Reuben and Shimon. And this is what the Gemara tells us in Seita Daf Lamed Vav Amad Beis Hayarei Yosef Lotzeis Mimena Yud Beis Shvatim Kederek Shiyotsu MiYaakov Odiv. That really potentially Yosef could have given, was so great he could have given birth to all 12, like Yaakov did. As it states, Ela told us Yaakov Yosef. These are the generations of Yaakov Yosef. Once Yaakov gave birth to Yosef, that's all he had to do. Yosef would have produced the 12 Shvatim. But something happened along the way where there was a slight imperfection in Yosef. So therefore he gave birth only to 2 Shvatim. Later on, Binyamin, his brother, gave birth to 10 and called them all on the name of Yosef. So these were a continuation of it, but no longer were they at that level. This gives us background into Ephraim and Manasseh. Now, in regards to their korbanos, it states that Ephraim and Manasseh, they brought their korbanos on the seventh day and on the eighth day. And the Medrash Rabbah gives a particular reason for this. The Medrash Rabbah in Parshas Naso, Yud Aletes, brings a pasuk from Iyov, Mem Aleph Gimel, that says, Mi hikdimani vashalem tachas kol hashamayim lihu. Whoever will come early and do something for me, then I will pay him back, HaKadosh Baruch Hu says. And I'll have no trouble because everything in the world belongs to me. Medaber b'Yosef. Medrash says this is referring to Yosef. Shehug higdim b'shimeras ha-Shabbos ad shelei nitna. Yosef kept Shabbos before it was given. In Miketz, Mem Gimel Tezayin, it says, when the brothers came to the palace of Yosef in Egypt, and Yosef told his guards, or those that were attending to him, actually the ones that were attending to him were Manasseh and Ephraim, he said, go tell them to be seated and to relax, they're going to eat with me today. And he said, Utfoach tevach v'hochem. Utfoach tevach means to shecht. From here the Gemara brings in Masechta Chulin that Yosef kept shechita. He told them, go and shecht an animal for them. And then it said, v'hochem. What does it mean, v'hochem? Hochem means to prepare. Omer Rabbi Yechanan, al shem hoi erev Shabbos hoi so. When they had come, it was Erev Shabbos, Friday. We find this word Hochein used many times by Shabbos. That Erev Shabbos, you have to prepare what you're going to eat on Shabbos because you can't do it on Shabbos. So the Medrash darshans that this was Erev Shabbos, Friday. So he told Manasseh, go and shecht and prepare it all quickly before Shabbos comes. And Shabbos they'll eat with me. We see that Yosef kept Shabbos. Omar HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Yosef, Atosh, Shomato Shabbos, Ad Shelei Nitna Torah. You kept Shabbos in Mitzrayim, in Egypt. And even before it was given in the Torah, this is before the giving of the Torah. Chayecho Shani Meshalim Leven Mincho. I have to repay you. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu took an oath that your descendant, Shemakriv Korbonai, when he brings the gifts and the sacrifice for the new Mishkan and new Mizbeach, will be b'Shabbos, on Shabbos. Ma she'ein Yochid Makriv, Now, these sacrifices were known as korbanos yechidim. These were not korbanos sibur. These were not national public sacrifices, rather sacrifices of the individual. They came from the individual nosi. By rights, it should not have taken precedence over Shabbos. Only a public sacrifice can take precedence over Shabbos. Yet this was an exception. Now, Kodesh Baruch Hu says, no one else will bring one on Shabbos like this, except your descendant, and I will receive it very well. So this is what it means by Yim Hashvi Nosi Livnei Ephraim, that the prince of Ephraim, his turn came on the seventh day, which was Shabbos. Then the Medrash says further, this is in Perek Yud Dalet Os Yud Ches, Omer Bazayo Omer Le'akorish Bocha Le'Yosef. HaKadosh Baruch Hu said to Yosef, Atosh shamata mitzvahs leishinof shishviyis bedibrais. Be'eshes v'no'achto v'leino'achto be'eshes Potiphar. The wife of Potiphar tried constantly and constantly to entice and to seduce Yosef, but he refused to be seduced. And this was from the great feat of Yosef. She even promised him all types of gifts and wealth. Even more, the Medrash says that she told him that if he would not listen to her, then she will tell her husband that he tried to take her by force and her husband will kill her. And the Medrash says, how do we know this? He says, because you see, this is what happened. Once she saw that she couldn't succeed, this is what she told her husband. And he would have killed her, except it seems that he didn't know if the wife was telling the truth, so he merely threw him into the dungeon. But nevertheless, he would not succumb. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, you guarded the mitzvah of Leisinov, that one should not commit adultery with another man's wife. That's the seventh of the commandments. V'gam shamat mitzvah Leisinov. And also you guarded the mitzvah that you should not steal, which is the eighth of the commandments. Because not only you never stole any of your master's possessions, very common that when someone gets authority in a person's house, and especially if it's a wealthy house, so he takes a little chumas and maestras for himself. Okay? You never stole any of your master's possessions, and you didn't steal his wife. You were in a position where you could have stole his wife. So you guarded the seventh commandment and the eighth commandment. The time has come where I must pay you now. The princes of your two sons, Ephraim and Manasseh, will be makri b'yem zayin, v'asheni b'yem ches, v'in shever echor mafzik b'en manecho. They will bring their korbanos on the seventh day and on the eighth day, and nobody will bring in between them. Just like you fulfilled both, that you shall not commit adultery and you shall not steal here even at the same time. And therefore it states that Ephraim and Manasseh came on the seventh and eighth day. And this is the Medrash brings the Pasuk on this, Esu Mishpat Yoda Leif Chachom. The wise man knows that a time of judgment will always come, even if it might take a long time. Ephraim, therefore, and Manasseh, both of them naturally had a very strong bond to their father Yosef, and they also had a very strong bond to Yaakov because of that, as we mentioned. And to their mother Rochel. And Ephraim had a particular bond to Yaakov, because it was Yaakov that gave him the firstborn birthright over Manasseh. Manasseh was the firstborn, but it was Yaakov that changed it. So therefore, when they brought their korbanos, we'll take Ephraim in particular, when he brought his korbanos, he had these in mind. So the Medrash gives many examples, where we'll cite a few. Karas kesef, achas, the kara, this was like that basin, that also spells out the word akarto. Akarto means to uproot. She'oka hayamim memenashe ba'ar Ephraim. You lifted up your hand, your right hand, from Menashe, and put it on my hand, on my head, on Ephraim. Shleishi mumea mishkolo. It was a weight of 130 shekel. There are 130 words from the posuk by Yoshes al Reish Ephraim until the posuk by Yosem Ephraim lifnei Manasseh. That this parsha that we read, that Yosef wanted that Yaakov should give the bracha first to Manasseh, and Yaakov instead made sure to take his hand and give it first to Ephraim. It says, well, he put his hand on the head of Ephraim. In that parsha, there's exactly 130 words in regards to the main psukim. That's what he had in mind when it was 130, a weight of 130 shekel. Mizrok echot. Then he brought this mizrok. This was round. And we said mizrok comes from the word zorak, to throw. With this, he had an honor keneged Yosef. Shemizrak me oviv. That was thrown away from his father when the brother sold him. Echot. Echot always means the one and only, the yochid. Yosef became the one and only in Mitzrayim. Yosef hoya shalit ala oretz. He became the most powerful governor of the entire land of Egypt. The one and only. Shivim shekel. Then is brought that this mizrok was 70 shkolim. What did the 70 represent? Again, this was in honor of his father Yosef. Shebo Gavriel vehosiv le'os achas al shemei mishmei shel HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Gavriel, the angel, came and he brought a letter from the name of Hashem, and he placed it in the name of Yosef. And this was the hey, that in Tehillim Pei Aleph, it calls Yosef, Yehosef. And through, by giving him this extra letter, Yosef all of a sudden became well versed in the Ein Loshon, in the 70 languages of the world. As it states, Eidus b'Yosef somay, b'tzeisel eretz Mitzrayim sfas lo yodati eshmo. HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave him this extra letter when he was the king of Egypt, and then all of a sudden languages which he did not know, he began to understand. What was so important about this? Because it had an Egyptian law that a king could not rule unless he knew the 70 languages. Now they were speaking here of a king, of a powerful king that would rule over the entire world. To rule over the entire world, there were 70 nations in the world, you had to be able to rule over their languages, their tongues. And Paray knew all 70. So they said, how can we appoint Yosef as a king? He doesn't know these languages. The servants of Paray, the ministers of Paray, didn't want him. So they said, we'll test him. So an angel came, Gavriel, and put the hey, Hashem's name, a letter from Hashem's name in Yosef's name, and all of a sudden he knew all of the 70 languages. She'ilule kein lohaya mitzrim mekabli meshesef lishleit aleihem. Without this, the Egyptians would not have allowed to accept Yosef to rule over. So this is what the 70 represented. Actually, in actuality, with that he became more powerful than Paray, because Paray didn't know there are 70 languages in Lashon HaKodesh. Hebrew. Paro didn't know Hebrew. And Paro became afraid that they might impeach him and give Yosef the ultimate throne. So he made Yosef take a shvua, an oath, that he'll never tell anyone that he knows Loshon HaKodesh, and Paro doesn't. Both of them were full. This is when they brought the karo and the mizrok. They were both full with fine flour, mixed with fine with oil, lamincha, for the gift offering. What does this represent? This represents Yaakov and Yosef. That the prince here of Ephraim was bringing this in honor of Yaakov, his grandfather Yaakov, and the father Yosef, because shneim ho yetzadikim gemurim, they both were perfectly righteous, and damim zelaseh, Yaakov and Yosef had a particular bond. We mentioned the bond because he was the firstborn of Rachel, and Rachel was his main wife, but he had another bond also. The Medrash brings Perek Yud Dalet Posuk Tes Zayin. Ele told us Yaakov Yosef, Loma Nemar, Lelamda Choshe Yosef Deme Laovi Bechol Dover. Yosef was identical to his father in everything. Just like Yaakov was born circumcised, Yosef also was born circumcised. Just like Yaakov's mother was barren, this was Rivka, Yosef's mother Rachel also was barren. We find that Rivka had great problems in childbirth. This is when Vayisveitzes Bikirbo, she was carrying Yaakov and Esav. So do we find with Rachel and Binyamin. Maze yoldi imay shnayim, avze yoldi imay shnayim. Yaakov's mother Rivka gave birth to two, Yaakov and Esav. Yosef's mother Rachel gave birth to two, Yosef and Binyamin. Yaakov's brother Esav wanted to kill him. Yosef's brothers also wanted to kill him. Those brothers hate, his brother hated him, and Yosef's brothers hated him. Each was a shepherd. They both were stolen from. Yosef was stolen by his brothers. Esav was deceived by Lavan. Yaakov was deceived by Lavan. Both of them, we find, went out of Eretz Yisrael. They both got married outside of Eretz Yisrael. He married Rachel, Yaakov, and Yosef married the daughter Potiphar. Each of them gave birth to children outside of Eretz Yisrael. Each one had a dream, and in the dream it showed them that they would become great. Yosef's dreams, and Yaakov by Beisel when he went to sleep in the place of the Beis Hamikdash. Yaakov's father-in-law's house became blessed because of him, the house of Lavan. And Potiphar, who was to become the father-in-law of Yosef, his house became blessed because of him. They both went down to Egypt. They both were able to stop the famine, and so forth and so on. It brings one incident after another. So they were Daimazelaze. In other words, one was the main offshoot of the other. And this is what he had in mind with this korban. the sacrifices of Menashe, many of them were similar, because he also was bringing for his father Yaakov, and for Yosef, his grandfather Yaakov, and Yosef, and Rachel. But a few were, he had his own particular individuality. For example, Kares Kesef, Keneged Yaakov, he also had what to thank his father, his Yaakov for, even though Yaakov took the firstborn birthright away from him and gave it to Ephraim. Why? From the fact that he gave it to Yosef, his grandfather, that's why he had the whole Yichus to begin with. Really, it should have gone to Reuven. So the Kares Kesef was Okar for that reason. Shleishi Mumeo, what does the 130 represent? When Yaakov went down to Egypt because of Yosef, he was 130 years old. Like he said to Parai, Yemei Megurai Shleishi Mumeo Shona. Shivim Shekel, what does the 70 shekel represent? Because of Yosef, a household of 70 went down to Egypt. Elim Atudim Kvosim, when they brought the one set of korbanos, there were three species there: the rams, the he-goats, and the sheep. Keneged Gimel Dvorim Shosi Yosef Bishvil Menashe, we find in the Psukim that Yosef three times tried to protect the firstborn birthright of Menashe. Three times. First it says, Vayikach Yosef Eshneem Esefraim Bimina Mismol Yisrael. When he presented the two sons to Yaakov, he presented it in a way where Menashe would be next to the right hand of Yaakov. Then Vayismach Yad Oviv Lohosir Esem Al Reish Ephraim. Then he tried to move his father's hand from the head of Ephraim to the head of Menashe. Then it says, "Vayemi Yosef al Aviv lo kein Aviv kizeh bechor." Then he openly made declared opposition to what his father was doing, and he said, "Lo kein, no, not like this." So three times he endeavored to save the firstborn birthright to Menashe. So this is what the three species of korbanos were. And then it states, Lama Hayishol Chamisha Chamisha. Each of the species were five each. What does five represent? Keneged Hei Noshim Mishavet Menashe Shonotul Chelet Bo'oritz. None of the women inherited land in Eretz Yisrael. It only went to the male descendants. An exception to this was the five daughters of Tzlofchot. Because when they came into Eretz Yisrael, they had no father. And therefore they claimed their father's portion. And Moshe wasn't sure what the halacha would be, and he went and discussed it with HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and they said, Kein Devreis B'nei Tzlofchot. They're right, you have to give them their portion. So they were the only five that took in Eretz Yisrael originally. And these five were from the tribe of Menashe. So therefore, that was the why there were five of each of the sheep and the goats. And this is what Yaakov meant when he blessed Yosef. Benos Tzoado Aleshur. The daughters that will come from you, they will be Aleshur. They will stand by the wall and want their territory. So this gives us a little insight into the gifts of Ephraim and Manasseh. Now Binyamin. B'yemat shi nasi livnei Binyamin Avidon ben Gidoni. The Medrash asks, this is the Binyamin, who's the brother of Yosef, Lama hikriv acha b'nei Yosef? Why do they come right after the children of Yosef? Shekashem sho yisashchina b'chelkos sho Yosef b'shilo kach This is what we mentioned before, because just like Shekhinah was with Yosef, Kodesh Baruch Hu's presence was always with Yosef, and we see this in Shiloh. This was the permanent place for the Mishkan. So did the Shekhinah dwell in the territory of Binyamin, which was Yerushalayim, where the Beis HaMikdash was. Binyamin brought the Karas Kesef. This was the basin of silver. What does this represent? Kara spells Akeres. This was in honor of his mother Rachel. Shoisa Akeres Habayis Ikor Beisoy. His mother was the mainstay of the house. Kesef Achas. It states it was silver. Achas. What does this mean? Shemit filosei noleid binyomin. Karas kesef achas. Binyomin was born through the schus, through the merit of her mother's, of his mother's tefillah. Because after Yosef was born, so Rachel made a prayer, a tefillah, Yosef li Hashem bein acher. HaKadosh Baruch Hu now should give me another son. And this is what the word, the kesev, the Medrash says, represents the word. Silver represents the words of the tzaddikim, and also represents a prayer, nichsefa. It represents the urging of the heart. Achas, she asked for one more. Shleishim umeya, it was 130 shkolim. What does the 130 represent? Yaakov was 100 years old when Binyamin was born, the Medrash says. And that's why he was called Benyamin. When Yaakov was 100 years old and he gave birth to Binyamin, he named him Benyamin, the son of my right arm. For some reason it seems that has to do with the fact that he was 100 years old. So that's what the 100 represents. What does the Shleishim represent, the 30? Binyamin was 30 years old when he went down to Egypt. Mizrok Echod Kesef. Then there was this round utensil, one, which was silver. This represented the cup of Yosef, which Yosef used to test the brothers. And he hid this cup in the sack of Binyamin. And when he saw that Yehuda was ready to give his life to save Binyamin, because Yehuda said, take me instead of Binyamin, then he realized that all of the brothers are righteous, and he forgave them all and revealed himself to them. Shibim Shekel, this represents the wine. I mentioned last time wine is the numerical value of 70, which Yosef would drink from this cup. Shnei Amaleim, both of them are full. This is Yosef and Binyamin. Shavim, both Yosef and Binyamin were great in their righteousness. That we find that the Mishkan was in the territory of Yosef and the Beis HaMikdash in the territory of Binyamin. Kafachas Asor Zohov, they brought this one ladle, which was the weight of 10 pieces of gold. These represent 10 sons that Binyamin had, and they were all like gold, kulam tzaddikim. They were all righteous. Par ben Bokor, when it came to the korban ola, there were 3 different types of animals for the korban ola. This Binyamin brought in honor of the 3 Bote Migdoshes, the 3 bases of Beis HaMikdash that will be built in his territory. One was during the time of Shlema Melech, the first Beis HaMikdash. The second was during the time of the Ole HaGola, when they came back from the Golus during the time of Ezra. And the third will be the time of the Yemei HaMashiach, the Melech HaMashiach. So the 3 different types of species for the Ola represents the 3 Bote Migdoshes that will be built in his territory. Ulezevach Hashlomim Bokor Shnaim, and this that he brought two bulls for the Shlomim. This represents two kings that will come out of Binyamin. Two great kings came from Binyamin, Shaul and Ish-Boshes. Another interpretation, Zevach HaShlomim Boker Shnayim, Shnei Go'olim, two great redeemers came from Binyamin, Mordechai and Esther. And then Elim Hamisho, when they brought the Shlomim, five times does it mention Hamisho. In other words, on each species of the Shlomim, of the different animals, there were five of each. Three times does it mention Hamisho. Three times does it mention five. In three species, there were five of each. What does this represent? Gibel Maile Shel Hamisho Mishe Shel Notel Binyamin. Binyamin, three times do we find a praise of five by him. Vaterev Masis Binyamin Mimaseis Kulam Chomesh Yodesh. When Yosef was giving gifts to his brothers after they were reunited and he revealed himself to them, it says that what he gave to Binyamin was five times more than the gifts he gave to each of the other brothers. Ule Binyamin Nosan Gimel Meas Kesev Vechomesh Meas Chalifes Smolesh. What did he give to Binyamin? 300 pieces of silver and five changes of beautiful garments. So that's a second five which is mentioned by Binyamin. And a third five which is mentioned by Binyamin is by his descendant Mordechai. Mordechai Yotze Milifnei HaMelech Belavush Malchus. That after the downfall of Haman, so Mordechai became the Mishnah LaMelech, the second to the king. And he went out before the king in five garments of royalty. As mentioned there, five garments of royalty. So these are some of the kavonas, the intentions that Binyamin had when he brought his sacrifices. So this evening we went through the third camp, and this was the camp of Ephraim, Degel Machne Ephraim. And they camped Yomo on the Marav on the western side. Shlishi Miso'u, they were the third to break camp. And there were three Shvatim, three tribes in this camp, from Ephraim, from Manasseh, and from Binyamin. And they brought their Nesim, their princes, brought their sacrifices on the 7th and 8th and 9th day. And this gives us some understanding into what they had in mind. Yitz Hashem, at an opportunity, hopefully not in the too far future, we will go through the final campsite, the final thing.
The Yeshiva Gedola hopes that you have learned much from the presentation. For further information or to order additional shiurim, please contact the Yeshiva Gedola of Johannesburg. Visit us on the web at www.ygj.co.za or contact us via email at audio@yGj.co.za, via phone at 011-648-7906, via fax at 011-648-0085, and via post at PO Box 66226, Broadway 2020, Johannesburg, South Africa.